Hey, listen, welcome to my apartment. It's the Gwen and God DJ self. Bianca's in the building.
Hi, everyone.
Bianca, listen, so officially this is, I like to call this unk season now. Like the winter time is unk season, man. You know what I'm saying? So this is officially unk season. And my guys are in the building. Smith and Wesson.
Boom, boom, boom.
So welcome to my apartment. I don't know if there's anything that's in my apartment that was just like, that you see it was like super wow.
Oh, man. It's a few things. It's a few things that bring back memories. You know what I mean? But yeah, it keep you looking, though, I'll tell you that. Word.
I got this, I even got a Master P, No Limit chain. You know what I'm saying?
Every eyesight is something that's dope.
It's something that catch your eye, yeah. Right?
Like, cause I used to have like the like G.I. Joes and Transformers and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then like you got the other exclusive Jones up there. Too. Like, my man used to have the wrestling cats. Like I don't really do wrestling. Like I never really like got
that
into
the wrestling guys?
Yeah, dudes with the shirts off and tight pants is just wrestling. Nah, I'm just playing.
Nah, that's all good.
Nah, Jimmy Snooki's my guy though. Tony Santana, let's go.
So let me go to the beginning, right? Because I do feel like a lot of times we have to remind.
Dig it.
And Smith & Wesson is here. Could you explain who is Smith & Wesson? When did you guys, and when did you guys first came out?
Smith & Wesson is myself, General Steel, my PNC for Life Tech. Man, we was rocking with Black Moon under their tutelage when they came out with... the first single, who got the props.
What was that, 9-2? 9-3?
Like 9-2.
End of the 9-2, beginning of 9-3.
So who got like the props that. Was out? Y'all was
we
a
came
part.
After that.
But was y'all part of...
We was rocking with
y'all was
them.
Rocking with them, okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
With Buckshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we was indeed. Boot camping, yeah.
So it was when Who Got the Props came out, it was Boot Camp Clip already?
Not yet, no, not
no,
yet, not
no,
yet.
Okay,
no,
okay,
no,
yeah,
no,
okay.
It was Black Moon, it was Buck, 5, E... They used to, what was that? Finster?
Finster.
Wall. I think it was another one. It was another one, right?
Nah.
Somebody else? They used to be with Finster?
Finster was in a group with Bundy.
Bundy,
but
Finster
now,
and
Bundy.
Bundy
was a part of Black Moon.
Okay. Right.
Finster was actually one original Black Moon. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the Black Moon story. Them cats, man, they was, like, we came after that. Like, we knew them before. We knew Buck before.
How did y'all meet Buck?
Through Tracy. Tracy is
his sister.
Okay.
I met her in night school in Washington.
Irvin?
Washington Irvin, right?
Okay.
No, not Irvin. What's that
you
joint
met
downstairs?
Weston
What's that
House.
Joint downtown? Weston House.
You met
right?
at Weston
Weston
House. House.
Night school. And she used to dance. And I had a little video out. I was going by the name MC Steel. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me you get focused, right? Weston House, Bianca, yes. Is a tough school.
Yeah.
No, this is a very ridiculous. Tough school.
Where you from?
You
know,
I'm from the Bronx.
Okay.
This is
yeah,
a very,
yeah,
very
yeah.
tough school.
I was, when he said Washington Irving, I was like, ooh. But the cute, dangerous guys went to Washington.
No, this was the dangerous of the dangerous.
Yeah, nah, Weston House was
it,
no good.
It was
yeah.
in Weston House, yes.
That was the original Cybertron.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that in a second.
That school shut down or something? Because I have no
Yeah, it's different. That's like some college something. It's attached to what, Tech, I believe.
Yeah, New York
But
Tech.
Nah, that was, yeah, it was definitely a stomping grounds. But the night school was even more crazy. But I met her in there. She had seen me on the video. Rapping, and we both used to sit in the back of the class.
Okay.
So, you know, that's where the extra nerds sit at. In the back. They don't want to be talked to. But we, you know, we stuck up a conversation. We got cool. She was like, you got to meet my brother. He dances. And his dance partner was Cassine, 5FT.
Okay.
And I did a show at the Apollo one day. She was my dancer. And that's when I first met Buckshot.
Mm-hmm.
He was dancing for me at the Apollo Theater.
Oh, so you was the original MC.
Facts.
So then how did he turn into an MC?
I guess, you know, he probably was vibing with the guys already, influenced. You know, it was already in the air, I guess. You know?
I want to get back to you, but do you feel that Buck gets his flowers? Because I feel like in hip-hop, we always had, we had eras of rappers that this was their era or they was the nicest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like two MCs that never get worded or mentioned in greatest MCs is Buckshot and Grand Poobah.
Yeah.
I feel like those two are like the two, like they was like top tier, like, you know, like this everybody be like Drake, Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie, but they forget those two. This Do you true. Feel that way?
This
also?
Is true. I was actually at a Jack the Rapper, we was there one time, and you know, for Tech and I, we just was flies on the wall.
Okay.
During the Black Moon run. We got to see them and learn from them. Mm-hmm. And one time I was just happened to be standing behind Buckshot, and Nas walked up to me and said, "Yo, I wanna rhyme like you, God." Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, "Yo, that was dope." Mm-hmm. So maybe you never get it in front of the camera, gotcha. Things of that nature, but the people, the artists respect other artists. Mm-hmm. And I think when I see Buckshot, the way he's treated in the game, everybody loves this guy. Mm-hmm. Every artist loves that. When he's with Snoop, when he's with cats on the East, West, every coast, they love him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he gets his flowers. It may not be respected, might not be a plaque on the wall or trophy.
Do you think he gets enough flowers?
In my opinion, nah, man, nah. Okay. But he ain't even like that, though. Mm-hmm. He's a humble brother, and he's very—he's focused on something totally different. So I mean, we learned a lot from that guy, mm-hmm. you know, on the business front, and that's when the boot camp comes in, because now we're building up the family. Mm-hmm. Now we see we got to protect each other, and we don't have a vested interest as far as like someone that's putting us on and going, "Come on, guys, it's us." Mm-hmm. So we cultivated that alongside with him. So whether I started it or he started it or who came first, who was on that, like we started to build from that relationship. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's when the boot camp.
Well, how does he get the deal first before Smith and Wesson?
Because he's a genius.
Okay.
That guy's a hustler from Franklin Avenue Posse. That's FAP to
life. He was like, running up in the labels like he was signed already.
Are you kidding me? Come on, fam. Like, bro is like, his business mind is wild advanced. He already mm-hmm. left the planet, man. That's basically Sprockets, man. Mm-hmm. Nah, Buck is super advanced, man. Like, that's like, when you think about independent labels, like, it's like he knew what to do with mm-hmm. it. Cause he knew he watched it, like it's crazy. Cause like whatever he danced for me and all of that, and I had got a contract with this wacky, just straight. I ain't gonna disrespect him, cause I'm getting in the game, and you'll do anything,
gotcha.
Right? So, and I knew that he was just smart. Mm-hmm. You know, he just like he is now. He talked that good one, but he really be there with it. Mm-hmm. So I took my contract to him. My contract was like this thick, God. Mm-hmm. And he was like, first of all, it's too many pages. I'm like, yeah, that's some good advice right there, you know what I mean? But he was like picking it apart. I was in the crib and he was just building with me. And that's the type of relationship we had. We would build, we would smoke, we would build. And that's like, you know, build and destroy. And you know, that's why for him, that getting with Drew Ha, another mm-hmm. A-alike, another genius, another hustler, like these guys, they crossed a lot of boundaries in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's what made them like true independent guys. So,
So I even heard a story that you wasn't even a rapper. So he had a backup dancer. He was the rapper. Then I heard you was the security.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
I was security because I was.
You see that, right?
I don't know.
I was going to. It's crazy because New York Tech is the college downtown Brooklyn,
yes,
that right. I was going to while they was probably going to night school in Westinghouse. Mm-hmm. So I was doing college, boxing, and security. And I was like, all right, whichever one takes off for me first, that's the lane I'm gonna go. And still just, you know what I mean? Was in the cards for it. So we came together, we got our name, and we were like,
how did you start rapping then?
He wrote my first joint. Okay. He wrote my first rap.
And what was it like, yo, you need to start rapping? Let me write, say this?
Nah, because it was, I remember in high school, we used to do hooky parties. Remember hooky parties?
Yes,
cut school.
Can you explain what hooky parties is? Okay.
Hooky parties is when you cut school and you go to somebody's
house,
crib, and mm-hmm. it's usually in the basement. And
unless you live in the projects,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I met Poison Pen. That's the funny thing. See? I met Poison Pen.
Oh,
yeah,
see.
We go back from high school.
So you were DJing then?
Yes, from me and Poison Pen.
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah. That's how we met from a hooky party that I threw. But yeah,
so we used to go to hooky parties, and in our high school we had like people that was already in the music industry, like. Sticky Fingers went to our high school. Mm-hmm. Gemini, the gifted one, went to our high school. Craig G, Juice Crew went to our high school. We would see Rakim pull up in the 500 Benz at our high school. Cyclonus was gone. So we was like in the mix and in the middle of it without really knowing that we was in it. And like I said, we would do hooky parties and I would just be rapping other niggas' songs. Like my man Billy from Harlem, he put me on the Whip Wop and AZ Mob Style.
Okay.
So that was
that
like one of my.
Shit.
Yeah, that was.
Shit.
Don't take original. Seven, take Eighth Avenue. So we would be working out, whatever, in the mirror and just building, bugging, just listening to music. And I don't even know how it really came about. He was just like, yo, here. I think he just opened the page up one time, unfolded the shit like, you remember the shit, the trial, you used to kick the, pluck the shit like the football, you used to make the biscuits out of the paper.
Okay, uh-huh.
That's how many times it was folded. So he handed me that. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And from there, it was just like, Mr. Ripper was created.
So was it always in your plan to make him into a rapper?
Nah, I had
He had like four partners before me. Right?
Oh yeah.
Nah, I had one of my, you know, I gotta salute my man Chase from Chauncey Street. Like Chase used to sound like Coogee Rap.
Okay.
Like he was dope, and I was like trash. I was like, yo, what make you know we? He started to cultivate me in rap. I was just the guy that, you know, the kid that was absorbing it. Mm-hmm. I was not trying to dream about none of that stuff.
Okay.
Dudes was in the site. Like, the cats he named was in Cyphers. Salute Cyclonus. That's D-Sep family right there. That's original D-Sep family. Cyclonus and Craig G had a battle one day on the corner. Like, I wasn't rapping it.
Oh,
I was not
gosh.
In that. I wasn't, you know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, one day I'm going to be doing this. We were still on the corner, like, being knuckleheads and shit. So it was like, seeing these guys, we just was absorbing the lifestyle, the culture. Later on, you know, it got cool. Like my man Chase was like, yo, we gonna be partners. And he a hustler. You know what I mean? Brooklyn hustlers up the hill, man, they different, man. He's like, he think almost like a Harlem cat. Like he mad fast with it. And I was never like that. But I was absorbing it. He was one of the first cats was rocking all the polo. A ring on every finger. Dudes would take pictures like this back in the day with the knuckles out. Like
and Chase was a mad had little nigga. Too.
Yeah, you know, I ain't had nothing. You know what I mean? But that was my man. So I looked up to him, and we was like, and we resembled, which was even more interesting. So he saw something in me, but then later on he bolted. Yeah, I guess rap was too slow. You know what I mean? Like Ghostface said, waiting on these priorities take too long, like waiting on babies. But it was by that time I was already like fascinated. I want to see what else could happen with it. And I was just on a dolo mission for a minute. So, but me and Tech was already friends. We was already like running with Rambo.
Because he was the security.
Nah, we was.
Nah, this was before that.
we was running around with Cookie Head and Rambo. Rest in peace.
Brie Voigt Project.
Yeah, I was our little squad dwellings. Inside of printing, a squad inside of a squad.
Okay.
And so like, I was still dabbling in rap and we was like the little guys. Like, so I took to him. I'm like, man, we could be a group. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, I could have did solo things, but it just didn't feel natural. It's like, we was already kind of clicking like that. It was like, that'd be dope.
Was your first major release was the Load the Clip, Bust Lead to the Head? That was on the Black Moon album?
On the Black Moon album?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, like you said, he was already, he had a contract. He had a record out.
Oh, you didn't say that you signed it yet? You didn't
tell me? Well, yeah, I went with it. I dropped the single. Uh-huh. I don't
Sean
remember
was tearing shit up.
I had a couple talent shows.
Like every week we would go in and be like, why are we going? You know you're gonna win. Like,
yeah.
And
I did a show with Karis one. He ain't know me though, but it's
one thing led to another and we had that joint out video. And I think we was in Uncle Guy's basement that time when we came up with the name Smith & Wesson, rest in peace.
Might have been.
I think we was in the basement over there on Chase Block though.
Nah, that was Dre. That's his uncle. That was his uncle because I think we had Tracy was there. We was messing with different. They was dancing, practicing. We had dancers, fam. We had dancers. My man in the crib, you know, the old school basements, the long bay, had the mirrors from wall to wall. Okay. We was in the basement.
You mean like dances? Like you
needed dances, this is, right?
This is the
package.
I guess
package.
We can still call the style. It's like Ocean Hill. This is on. Yeah, it was. Was it Tom? Not Tom. Thomas Boylan?
It was up the hill. It was up the hill. Like
on Chauncey shit over there, yeah.
Like Saratoga, yeah. That area, you know what I mean? With
so it wasn't
dancing them.
Considered
the star.
The gentrified side yet. It's still up the hill at the tip. It's right at the tip of the sty and then get to the Ville right there.
I want to switch gears a little bit.
Yo, you know what you're missing in here? A fish tank, bro.
A fish tank?
Oh my God, please don't tell them that. Please.
You need a fish tank in here.
Good looking. That's gonna be the next one.
In an apartment? I used to have Oscars and all aggressive fish. And every time I would come in the crib, my fish tank would just be filthy, bloody. You would have to change the shit.
Together.
Yeah, you would have to change the shit like every other day because anything you put in there, they attack
it's
and
over.
They eat it. Yeah.
It's over.
But you need a fish tank for tranquility and everything.
What's
wrong with
the fish tank?
Once you clean out the blood, it's tranquil, right?
Yeah. Once you clean out the blood, you
Gucci. I want to switch gears a little bit because I remember me as a youngster and going to school, we used to be scared because the D-seps is coming.
Pussy.
Right? Yeah, that's fine. But I was young, you understand what I'm saying? So so let's say I was in third, fourth grade, D-seps was seventh, eighth, ninth grade, you know what I'm
saying? Third, fourth grade? Oh, man.
Yeah, you older than me, man.
You're
I'm not your age,
like
man.
We 75 or something.
I'm not your
third,
age,
fourth
man.
Grade.
You are older than me, man. You are older than me.
He's used to being the oldest. So.
I am used to being the oldest. Y'all older.
We taking advantage right now.
So I'm being honest. Like, so I remember, because I remember my older brother used to have issues because he went to graphic arts.
Oh,
that was Prince. That was in high school.
Yeah, but I was in, my older brother's older, I was probably was in like, fifth, sixth grade, fourth, something like that. My brother went to graphics arts. So I remember he used to have trouble with, this is my first introduction of D-Sep. Yo, they try to jump my brother. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm just like, yo, but then they wind up getting cool with him because my brother's a big guy. You understand? We didn't totally opposite.
I know your brother?
You might, right? He's a very big guy. They used to call him Kamala because he looked like Kamala back in the day.
I think we do.
You understand?
Yeah.
My brother's a big guy, like big.
He always wore low cut.
Yeah, but they call him Kamala.
Yeah, I know Kamala.
Yeah. But like you know, throughout the years, we always just you know like that.
Dang
but
it.
So I remember this, you know, this, and then I remember D-Seps coming to. I'm from Fort Greene.
Oh,
I'm from downtown,
snap.
So then I remember
okay, that's what killing
D-Seps. I remember D-Seps coming
Michael
down,
Masters, yeah.
Because of Brooklyn Tech, and then there was a guy named Hook Off,
yeah,
and different things
yeah,
like that.
Hook.
So how did this whole D-Sep culture start? Tell them what is D-Sep, because Bianca's looking like, because I hear you here, you know about blood, you know about Crips, right?
Yeah, I do know about blood and Crips, yes.
Do you know about D-Seps?
I do not.
Exactly. Okay.
D-Seps started in like 85, right? I think. Like 85.
I was not in high school in 85.
Right. Shit, me either.
I believe after a year. You know what I mean?
Me either.
Hold on, so he explaining it to me. You want me to learn?
Yes.
Nah, that's a brotherhood though. Like a brotherhood, sister, it's a family thing. Cause okay. It started.
At the time, it was a gang. Be honest.
No, man. I'm just saying. You saying where it started?
It's an organization. Okay.
It started with brothers. It wasn't no like, hey guys, we're gonna start a gang. We're gonna go against these guys. Yeah. Like, what's the interesting thing about D-Sep's story? Is like the brothers, when you say Hail Megatron, Megatron is Rick, right? That's the big brother.
Rest in peace, right?
And the enforcer, that's Rumble, right?
Rest in peace, right?
And the little brother is Cyclonus.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's a brotherhood. Like physically, it's brothers that's really there to protect each other. Now,
that's
these
not what
brothers.
I remember.
No. You came later when it was turned up. It was crack era and all of that. It was
you came
it was
into the
on.
Violence.
It had fast forward into the future where it's like, all right, brothers is now tearing up the strip. Yeah, the name was definitely preceding itself. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. So, but the brotherhood. And you know, not forget the sisters that held it down as well. It was more so family if anything. So, I mean, it's a lot I could say, but I don't know, like, you can go directions. It's a lot of people that's talking about D-Sep online. They don't really got all of they stuff
well,
together.
I feel that when we talk about history of New York and different things like that, even hip-hop, yeah. I feel like D-Seps or Decepticons is left out a lot. You know, they'll talk about Blood Crips, then they'll talk about Low Lives.
Let me partner Kanye Wisdom. I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm like, yo, a lot of times I was building my wisdom, too, because, like, we came up in an era where, like, D-Sep, it wasn't popular to talk about your crimes. You know what I'm saying? D-Sep was a criminal organization. It became a criminal organization. You wanted me to say it?
We was doing
bad stuff out there. You know what I'm saying? And like, you have enemies. So we ain't gonna look, D-Sep, hey, we flagging. We was not flagging. No, D-Sep wasn't wearing Decepticon jackets.
He was not.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, and if we was, that we was going on what we call a what? You know what I mean?
I remember it was called a whip.
No, it's called a what? It used to be a whip out.
Okay, whip out. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
They used to get whipped out. But okay, it was, the mission was called the what? Okay. Yeah,
yeah, man. Salute and the Watercons, man. Salute
it was,
the insects.
It was so crazy in the beginning because
you was down D-Sep too.
Yeah, we all
okay.
D-Sep.
I'm sorry.
Can't then be used against me in a court of law.
Allegedly.
The
laws is changing. Like
what's crazy is right. The school we went to, which was graphic arts, was a high school. Mm-hmm. Which was labeled Cybertron, was a gifted school. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, you know, you used to have to take tests to get into certain high schools and get into those.
That and Brooklyn Tech.
Yeah, and Brooklyn Tech. So, yeah.
That's why I was getting that. That these are people that were deemed smart.
Right.
Yeah. That's how it usually goes, right?
Yeah.
Right, right.
So, for me, it might have been different for anybody else. But for me, I remember coming from junior high school, going into high school, before I even became Decepticon. So all I knew about D-Sep was the cartoons and all the names and everything. And then, you know, once you started to learn the people and who names it was like, oh, shit, I understand why this nigga got his name from.
Okay, uh-huh.
So it used to be my man Laserbeak. When we first got to school, everybody used to just be like, yo, if you see this nigga around you, mm-hmm. Laserbeak, which was the bird from Decepticon,
yes, uh-huh.
Come get all the information and go back. They'd be like, yo, if you see this nigga around you too much, nigga scheming on you. They about to try to get you.
Okay.
So this was all probably like for the first week of being fresh in high school, mm-hmm. hearing about Decepticons. Yo, niggas got a what? They gonna do this? And truancy was in our high school. Mm-hmm. So anybody who got picked up for cutting school, the truant officers would bring them to our school.
Okay.
So that was on the second floor right on top of the lunchroom. So you pass the truancy office, going to lunch. So all we did was just really had to peek and
fish
just
bowl.
Be like, yeah. Be like, oh, shut up. Got something on the hook in there when he come out as a rat. But yeah, that was my intro into Decepticons. Just learning the names and learning the people. And like you said, it's
how did people get their names? Did you take it? Was it earned? Was it given?
It was earned and given. You couldn't really pick your own name. Like
you had to be making some noise. Yeah, to pick your
somebody
own name,
usually you know? Named you or name. Like my name was Monstructor. Mm-hmm. His name was Steel Punch. So
yeah, I got my name from Minnesota. Right, so Minnesota. That's.
Well, what did you have to do to get your name?
I had to knock niggas out.
Okay.
I had to be on the front line.
Pretty much.
On the what, and you know. Yeah, that was that. But yeah, like these cats wasn't just like, I mean, the time was crazy. You know, a lot of people think we was out. We had beef with all these different crews. It was just like. It's like any other teenagers out there. If you ran across dudes and you know, if it was on, you get your friends. That's how it was. So that just grew because it was like some of these guys are gonna be criminals. Some of these guys are gonna have plans. They're gonna wanna go rush in to be Altman's. They're gonna wanna go run up in, you know, Tent and Trails. It sounds like
B.
fun.
Altman,
you're
Tent
like,
and
yeah,
trails.
Let's go. Next thing you know, we doing, you know, it's that type of deal. Might wanna go to Irvin. Go bag up some shorties or go to Martin Luther King or something like that. Then you start seeing cats with low gooses on. You're like, wow, that's, yeah, let me get that. You know, it's like, it's just exciting.
Let me get that.
Yeah.
You get up to the school and you hear the principal actually on a loudspeaker, yo, those Decepticons is up
I
there.
Used to hear that. That's what I'm saying.
Early dismissal.
Yes,
go out the
I
back.
I used to hear that. Yes. Thank you. That's what I'm saying in school. I used to hear that. Like, now, all right.
Wait, what school you went to?
No, 113.
Downtown,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, Micromasters. They was rapping. Yeah.
That's the thing about cars too, because it was kind of elusive. Like dudes wasn't really bragging about, the connection. Mm-hmm. So we would have like D days, and every D day you would meet mad new people. So you had people from Queens, rest in peace, to Dallas Penn. Dallas Penn's a Decepticon.
Rest in peace, right.
You know what I mean? And he was down with the original, like, 13 guys. The original 13 guys is from Brooklyn Tech. Mm-hmm. You can't just get in Brooklyn Tech. You know what I mean? So you can imagine these guys being in Brooklyn Tech already, right? Fort Greene was scary a place down there. Mm-hmm. So imagine these guys coming from down the hill, Ralph Avenue, going to school in Brooklyn Tech, and being harassed by the people that's already gangsters over there from Fort Greene. And then they having to get their little brotherhood going, yo, we gonna protect each other's. And then now they got friends in Queens. They got a cousin in the Bronx. Next thing you know, we Decepticons. Next thing you know, you know what I mean? That's how it really, really grew to be like that. And of course it gets crazier as it grows, like with power corrupts any man, any woman mind. Mm-hmm. But the family is still family, it's still royal family. And like we never, and just for the record, we never had no drama or beef. If anybody ever wondered, we never had no like crazy drama with Low Lives. Like Low Lives is like the original Low Lives and cats that was getting busy. It's family.
A lot of them went to the same high school that we were
at. The homies in Brownsville, the homies on St. John's, like those was already friends. It's like they just called it a different name. Sometimes we ran with them. Individuals might have had things between each other, but it was always like a camaraderie. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it
you
was
sure?
other cats that we
I
went.
Always thought that the low lives
was like this,
stuff
it's you and it's us.
And the D-Sips was robbed the low lives.
I mean, when you was when pussy it came and you were plate, you were plate. Okay. It don't matter. If you was pussy anywhere, nigga gonna give me that. Come on, man.
It was people
matter.
Who had things with each other. Like, it was like D-Sips against the low lives. It was never that. So that's a myth. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was certain
cats. I got
cats.
Some good friends that's low lives. B-Bob.
Yeah.
Shout out to B-Bob.
My man
that's
Joe
my
Val.
Guy.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Boost and Billy. We was, they was right there with us. Mm-hmm. In the trenches, for real.
Yeah. But on the low, Boost and Billy and Dead End, rest in peace. Both of them cast. They used to fight all the time. Dead End would definitely try to rob Boost and Billy. Boost and Billy wasn't having it though. Like, but we ain't have like it wasn't like we gonna all rob Boost and Billy. There was never we never did no thing. Boost and Billy was cool. Like D-Seps wasn't we was savage, but it wasn't like we were just gonna do some savagery to who anybody. Like it was savagery with a purpose. It was organized confusion, so to speak.
You got your ass whipped for a reason.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the hip hop thing. So now early Smith and Wesson, y'all coming out. The first thing was Bucktown.
Yeah.
Where did y'all get the name Bucktown from?
Man, from the universe. I don't know. It's crazy because like you get, I can't trace it back to nowhere. It just felt like that was a time. Like we just coming out of the streets. We just is what we just was doing. We just was with these running around with these Decepticon guys. Like we straight out of high school. And a little bit of college here, mm-hmm. you know, and everything to us is Bucktown. I didn't even know it was a movie called Bucktown.
Mm-hmm. And until was like, after things, was right.
We was just, things was falling into line for us. It just seemed like it was like the connection was supposed to be, you know, even with Smith and Wesson, it just felt like that was us already. So.
Earlier, y'all was on Nervous, then it switched to Priority or something like that?
Bucktown Priority.
Like, what was that whole situation?
Well, like we said, from when we first started, that was Buckshot was the first mm-hmm. hip-hop act signed to Nervous over there. Uh-huh. Right, so even like you're saying, Buck was ahead of his time. He brought, we brought KRS over there. We brought Channel Live over there. We did the Mad Lion over there. Mm-hmm. We even Flex over there with the 60 Minutes of Funk tape mm-hmm. when it was going gold at that time. Mm-hmm. So Buck was in these offices and in these pockets and still at the same time learning his way. But he had to have a plan already because okay. he already put it together with Drew High. He reached back to us, Smith and Wesson. We reached back to Helter Skelter, so forth with OGC. And that's when the boot camp was formed. Once everybody had a home, we kept it within each other, and we
and it's the home was Bucktown Priority.
Bucktown Priority.
Drew is still out here too.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, he's managing Drewski, that comedian.
Yeah.
Drewski, he's mm-hmm. thing.
See, it's like the formation was there. Like we didn't have like a talent show for that. It's already like, I mean, I knew Buckshot's sister. You know, she was in the crib. We was in the house, we was building, we know the moms, we know father, we in the crib eating, we in the refrigerator.
Shout out to Buckshot moms too, she always hit me up.
Big up to Mama Blake.
Mama Blake.
So I was coming to your birthday party.
It's a family affair, man. It's not like it's dudes that was talented already. Like a lot, you know, primarily boot camp clickers from Brownsville. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Me and Tech was already school buddies. Like it's friends and friends and friends just bonding for a higher purpose. Mm-hmm. And Buckshot and Drew High being the mass, like PNC says, like they plan was like, all right, what can we do with this, with all of these guys coming here? Like, okay, the label Nervous was good, but what mm-hmm. else can we do? You know, we want more money, we want more stuff, we want more things. You mm-hmm. know that, you know that second label vibe, like, mm-hmm. I mean that second album, I got the second album. We did good on that first one, right? Mm-hmm. We wanna renegotiate.
Let's renegotiate.
You know what I mean? Like, what? We learned that word from. Nah, we heard that word bounced around over here and there. Let's renegotiate. What y'all want? Nah, we ain't doing that. So we was like, you know what? We couldn't see eye to eye. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that's really was what it all was about. We felt we needed more. We felt we was worth more. We made the album with what we made it with. And salute the Evil D and Mr. Walt, because we knew nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They walked us through everything. We just stood where they told us to stand, shot at what they told us to shoot at. We already had the training from rocking with D-Sep. Mm-hmm. So that we just took that D-Sep training and put it and shaped it up and made it nice, put a bow on it, called it boot camp. That's the training for that. Mm-hmm. And Drew and Buck was behind the curtain walking it through, you know.
Do y'all still feel like y'all have to wear boots? Cause I see y'all both got boots on, right?
And it's cold
outside. It's Timberland season.
It's a polar vortex outside. What are you talking about? Listen,
Bianca, let me tell you something, right?
Oh, you got on NBA.
It's always Tim season for ass kicking reasons, brother.
Bianca, when I was a child, right? I did not want to wear sneakers because I felt like sneakers was uncool. Because I mean, not well, it was a little bit because of Smith and Wesson, but I think Rockness said, man, some sneaker wearing nigga in the
cycle.
Yeah, and I said, damn, I don't want to be a sneaker wearing nigga. Like, you understand what I'm saying? You feel me? Like,
you know what it was? Let me clean that up for you, right?
I was like, for what it was. I can't wear no sneakers, man.
It wasn't, you couldn't rock sneakers. Too, by the way. It was at that time what we was doing, you couldn't rock sneakers with fatigues.
Okay, okay.
That was called though. That was unheard of.
Okay.
So that's why that, because you know, that's how we was rocking. It was all fatigues. Uh-huh. Tim's all reason for ask and Tim's all season for ass kicking reason.
And this is so why we was on New it like that. With Tim's in the summer. Yeah, and shit, that's because of these motherfuckers.
Yeah. I used to play basketball with Tim's dunking and all that's types of shit.
Yeah. That's because I remember where it come from. You never saw anyone with army fatigue and sneakers. Like, yeah. Now that makes sense.
That's what it was. That was the unwritten rule. Like, you couldn't wear fatigues with
right
sneakers.
Here, just
letting
you know that.
I mean, now it's cool. You could rock it, and we kind of made fatigues fashionable.
Yeah, nah, yes. We made it fashionable, but let's keep
and
it.
Tim's.
For transparency, right? For us coming up, you know, we're not gonna say we invented that. Obviously, it was God.
No,
was
I'm saying you the reason. Yeah. I ain't saying no. Invented.
We definitely ran with it. We definitely came through like this with the football like
that's
this.
That's what I'm
was
saying.
Good.
This is the reason. Nah,
salute the S1Ws.
Yeah,
man.
Nah,
salute
but you,
the guys
you had
like
to...
Tretch and Dos Effects, because Dos Effects, they come out with the straight from the sewer, the 40
Actually,
below.
Actually, those were the first guys that I seen with
Dos
40
Effects.
Below Timberlands. Right.
Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh.
I used to see them in the park in the east before we really
We couldn't afford 40
on.
Below, so we wasn't
and
even
them,
doing
I
that.
I would
yet.
See
like,
Dos Effects pull up
those.
In the park in Jeeps.
You know?
Like, pull up on a sidewalk and put the big Benzes, 500s, and Jeeps in the park and just chill and smoke with 40s on. I'm like, oh, this is rap?
Yeah.
I want in. This shit is dope. And like you said, we didn't start.
No,
the
40
below
I did not say start.
We,
I said
we
the
made
reason.
It dope. Yeah, yeah,
is,
yeah.
You know, those are my words. The reason.
Okay. Yeah.
You
yeah.
understand?
Nah, we made it. Yeah. We made it acceptable. Yeah. In the field of fashion, because other than that, it was just the robbers. You know, it was mm-hmm. clear. You saw that. You was like, oh man, they definitely these are the stick up kids.
But what's the robbers?
The robbers.
Stick of kids.
The robbers.
The robbers. Oh, the I thought of a type of boo. I thought of like, the black construction. No.
Oh shit! She said,
"No,
the
those,
black
those are actually called the generals.
You know, yeah, these are the generals.
Okay. Yeah, those the '40s, the generals. But now, normally you see, you see somebody
limited
in
the
DDU's army militaried up. They come in to stick up, they're kicking down doors or something like that. Mm. But we made it cool in the hip hop realm where you can now. So that's why we wasn't no sneakers, because we like don't go there with it." You got to keep it official if you're going to do it like that.
I just told you. I wore sneakers. You know, some sneaker wearing? I said, yeah, we can just
have sneakers about it. So we can officially say, like, y'all the reason behind Tim's and hip-hop?
That might.
I want them to
yeah,
say
that. Yeah, that might be accurate.
All right.
And it's crazy because we never claim it because there's so many different, you know, people, again, artists have been wearing Tim's since the beginning of time. But, yeah, we came as a unit. Unified unit and was like,
but things
that
wasn't looking
like
cool
that.
And dope in it till we brought it out.
Nah.
Till we did.
And we wasn't like going Timberlands, yeah.
Right, right,
like,
right.
Like, give us a bag, then we might do something different. But other than that, we was like, for us, our caliber of individual in the hood, it was affordable, right. It was fly, you know what I mean? And it was, again, we can get busy in those. If you can play basketball and you can fight in Tim's, those are the ones you get right there.
Start somebody out with the Tim's.
You know what I'm saying? You can't start nobody out in Air Jordan.
That was it.
No, you can't.
You came in here and played a new song, right?
Yes.
The beginning of the new song, you are talking about being called a traitor is worse than being called a female dog.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right? Just in case someone else is it, why do you feel that you know hits home so hard?
First of all, because being called, as I said, a traitor, that's worse. That's going against everything you stand for, basically.
And being called a traitor, you referring to, I think you had the Math Hoffa.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
that was the first time in my life I ever been called a traitor or we've mm-hmm. been labeled as a fucking traitor.
Mm-hmm. And this was because at the time you guys were close to Tupac.
I don't know what his reasoning for was, but whatever it was, I didn't like it.
Understood.
Uh-huh. I just spoke on it to feel like, yo, dude. That's worse than anything you can be called. A snitch, a bitch, a coward, anything.
Oh, so it's worse than a rat?
Yes, it's definitely worse than a rat. You a traitor, you...
Well, I think a rat and a traitor is kind of the same.
It's not really, it's not the same.
Because you go back on someone that you weren't cool with.
A traitor is like when you're going against your country or your tribe.
So okay. Traitor is like a Judas, right?
Yeah, you're selling out your tribe and everything just to not even be accepted, just to see harm brought, basically.
Understood. Okay.
Because you're not trading, because you're still going to play the fence like a sucker or do whatever once the dirt gets done or whatever it is. So... to be called a traitor, that's something that's just not acceptable.
Let me take you back into that time. Did you ever think in your mind that, you know, some people may not think this is cool because it's supposed to be a East-West beef?
All right. And in my mind, we knew it wasn't an East-West beef, though. We was there at that time. We was there. We was at the Source Awards when shit was happening. Mm-hmm. We was in the middle of the East-West beef. So to even go out there and be on both sides, like, you know I knew Big. Big was my brother, my Gemini brother. Like, I could be anywhere. It felt like the world on anything. Bike, skates, motorcycle. And I don't know how Big would find me. He would pull up. Literally at the light, be like, yo, what you doing, buddy? Pop that shit, let's go get in here. And we would just be in Brooklyn, Harlem, every fucking way. So it wasn't no, we knew what time it was with it. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm trying to set this up or trying to do this or manipulate and go back over here. That's traitor tendencies. That's bullshit that happens, and it wasn't on it like that. I come from the hood of the style and know exactly what it was.
Would you do anything different now, knowing, you know, whatever you know now? So when I say that, maybe, let's say, either, hey, let me fall back, or let me explain why this is going on, or anything?
Grown-ass man, dog. Explain what? We're explaining through actions more than anything. You see us over here on this coast with this one rocking. We ain't over here throwing up no sets, no bloods, or bad mouthing our brother over here. And then you see me come home and I'm still with my brother the same way. And when I'm with either one of them, near one of them is talking bad to me
about the other.
So it's nothing like that. It was just, again, how the media perpetuates things and blows it out of proportion and takes it, and they're gonna run with it. It's just, back then, it's compared to today, clout chasing, or if you wanna put it like that, just so you get a better picture of it. So it wasn't, I wouldn't do nothing different. I still fuck with both of them.
So what makes you feel that it's hurtful for someone to say you're a traitor
just
when you
to
know
label
that wasn't the situation?
Because I know.
Okay.
And the world, well, him and his comrades or whoever, they felt that way. I know, we know what we had going on and what it was. But for anybody, that's just in life, period, for anybody to label you something or call you something without knowing you or knowing what the... What it was, because when you hear something like that, first of all, you're listening from four different parties. Is the truth what happened here? So now it's trickled down here, what we call a remix. By the time it get to you, that camera that's black could have been, oh, it was an orange camera there, and then it was there, and it was, so if you wasn't there, you can't talk and say that. Especially with conviction, you strong and wrong, my nigga. And instead of listening to what the people that was involved or that was there is telling you, not even being on some bully or some super aggressive shit, just telling you, explain it to you, you still poking your chest out or saying, no, it was this, it was this. And that's just for anything in life. That's just like if... I say it's worse than a snitch and a bitch and a rat because it's worse than that. But if a nigga in jail and he's a stand-up nigga and he get a label as a rat on his coat, he gonna feel the same way. He gonna wanna hurt something or whatever the case may be. You go to the extremes to let it be known, yo, this ain't it. And I just happened to have the platform of Smith & Wesson to tell my part of the story or mm-hmm. what it is. Yo, it ain't that. And this is how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that because we had Greg Nice here, was it last summer, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how, obviously he was close with Pac, and he was saying how he actually, Pac wanted to squash the beef right before he died. And that exactly. was news to me because
he was actually out there recording with us.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, Greg Nice was,
On the One Nation album that Pac was doing, that we was all doing, it was supposed to be like, what, four albums? A One Nation West Coast, a One Nation East Coast, mm-hmm. a One Nation Midwest. Mm-hmm. This was what he was saying his plans was. Mm-hmm. He wasn't on no beef and shit to be like, yo, I'm gonna end this shit and do this and do that. Nah, what he was trying to do was bring together shit. That's why it was called One Nation.
Uh-huh. This is why it's fucked up to be labeled something and not have that platform to use it in the proper way to correct. What we didn't have earlier was these type of platforms.
Right.
Like you got instant gratification. People will, they get to put their opinion up at a rapid refund, rapid rate. So we always had dudes back in the days smoking reefer, sitting around the crib going, yo, I heard this, I heard that. Right. Now it's online. Now mm-hmm. what I heard is going, yo, I heard Smith & Wesson, I heard this. What dude, I'm looking at this dude, I don't even want to say his name, but I'm looking at this dude online going, yeah, I got the Diddy tapes and Smith & Wesson, yeah, they got jumped. They had to change their name. Like, I'm in the crib looking at this and I want to say something to this dude. Mm-hmm. I never seen this dude before, but I'm like in my crib going, I couldn't even eat no more. I dropped my spoon and I'm going, yo, if I see him in public, mm-hmm. I'm going to do something to him. So he ain't called me nothing, but he just said Smith & Wesson got jumped. And they had to change their name. Like, it's people who get to say stuff. Mm-hmm. And you don't, you like you say, that you're not there. Like, we went down there, we wasn't safe when we went to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. We were safe because we was with each other. You know what I mean? We took a chance. We took a sacrifice, if anything, for East Coast. Because we wasn't in that beef. Mm-hmm. We ain't see like, yo, we're gonna stand Biggie, and Biggie ain't need us to say, hey, everybody stand over here. Like, what's going on with these guys now? We wasn't doing, that's corny right now. Oh, rappers banding together, that's whack. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting it out there, that's whack. That's some real corny, that's corny sandbox shit right there. Mm-hmm. Like, no, my friend, yo, get out of here with that. Like, we artists here, so we's like, that's an opportunity for us. Plus, we don't know what the opportunity, plus we fresh, still in fresh in the game. What's this, 9596?
We still
fresh in the game. Mm-hmm. We have no years in this thing yet. Mm-hmm. So when a person like that makes a move towards you, and you know, it's like we had so many different affiliations and in between, like Swan Gotti and Stretch, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, well, let's see what's going on. We get on that plane and see what it do. We boot camp soldiers. So our mentality is just that. It ain't like, hey, we're gonna go over here and get these props with Pac and da 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 da. Soon as we got there, we seen somebody filming in the airport, and we like, yo, what's going on? Like, we wasn't there for none of that Hollywood stuff. We was doing recon. This is what we do. We need to see what's going on in the game, and we gonna rock with who rock with us. Mm. Soon as we pull up in the limousine, Snoop Dogg is the first person that we see. Me and Tech is in the limo. We don't know nobody. We just like this. We ain't getting out till, you know what I mean, it's time, whatever. Buckshot sees Snoop. They like, yo, what up, cuz? Hey, cuz. Like, they like showing like they went to school together. So automatically, all that kind of like melts. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not there for any of the stuff that you guys is thinking about while you eating your crackers and your Cheez-Its in the crib going, yo,
they probably going to try to put a plan together. Nigga, relax.
We ain't playing together. We trying to do some raps and trying to see what's going on. Like, pockets, we in this guy's living room talking about, this is a vulnerable situation right here. We're not mapping out the takeover of hip-hop, but you know Pac is an energetic guy. So he telling, he putting the battery in our back going, yo, we're going to go on tour. He want to get the rappers that want to be down with the movement of putting rap on the map. And we part of the people who came first for the call, so he showed us mad respect. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't rock with somebody like that?
No, 100%.
So I'm like, yo, whoever want to say something about that, let's have that conversation before you start talking all that riffraff. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's offensive, especially at the age when you know you put in work for your borough, and you're not really, you don't move like that. like people really would take a crap on their neighborhood and can't go back to their neighborhood. We still be having block parties in the style in Brownsville, stuff like that.
And for years, I it just irked me just to even talk about
it. He don't even
want
to bring it up. Like, nah, we can't. But
well,
we have to.
Because he played a song. That's the first thing he said in the
I'm glad he did.
That's the single one of next video. Because
boom, say that again. That's the single with the next video.
That's the single with the next video. Word. And actually, because it's major important, because in this day and time, not only is this an important platform, but there's so many platforms where niggas just get up there and talk. Mm-hmm. And you could just talk without being fact-checked. You could just talk having nothing to stand on it. And
today,
you have to talk and tell your story, you're going to be written out of history. Like how you take it back earlier, do you think Buck get enough props?
Yes.
All right. For me, no. I personally don't.
I 100% agree.
I personally don't. It was one time Buck was labeled the number one rapper in the game.
I just said that right here.
Rakim.
Yeah, you understand?
I think they skip over.
That's why I'm saying Buck and Grand Poobah.
Right.
I feel like the Karis
one, Rakim. Right.
Then they go Nas, Biggie. Then they're like, hold on, you know.
But at the same time, that where's that whole little pocket there?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about me, but to see our big little brother just to be a non-factor in the industry is fucking asinine. It's fucking bananas. It's retarded. Mm-hmm. But
talk about the politics, because some artists like Smith and Wesson, like the whole crew be blacklist, like out of history. Like
I do feel like you guys too, as a group, I feel like you guys are.
Yeah, but I think we knew the reason we was.
And you think it's because of this Pac situation?
No.
Okay.
No.
I want to know.
I think the reason we was blacklisted because of record that we have Soundboy.
Oh, bye.
Exactly. But we're not homophobic.
That was what it was at the time, too, though.
All right, but from then to carry on for 20, 30 plus years, when you don't even come, now you have immediate access to a person through platforms, through social media. You can jump in a person's DM and be like, yo, do you rock with blah, 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 blah? Mm-hmm. And you can conduct a whole interview or Zoom over your fucking phone now. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, I'm never going to see that person, so let me just put this out in the air. Mm-hmm. But then when you see him, what? Mm-hmm. So,
well, I do feel that you guys should be mentioned in greatest duels. You know, a lot of times, again, the EPMDs, even like the tribes and different stuff like that, and I do feel like
But that's a touchy thing because it's not many duos.
Do you think that because you guys were independent at the time?
Both of them.
Maybe it could have been that.
Nah,
I think it's both. Part. I think it can play both of them and the New York, because that Biggie thing is big, and we got attached to that. Guilt by association is real.
And also, people, do you think people, that y'all guys
people remember that they remember the trauma?
Yeah, they do.
You know what it is?
I was ahead of your time.
For me,
it's always about what you did.
So it was a point in time where these guys and their whole crew, they was like, oh, if you want to reach us, www.com.
That's what I was going to say.
What the fuck is .com?
That's like, what I was going to say. I think we kept ourselves so separated from the industry. Because we didn't do a Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang, my brother. We didn't go get a deal for this artist on Def Jam. We didn't go get a deal from this artist on Sony. Everything that Duck Down encompassed was on Duck Down. So if you can't go around and be like, yo, I can get this and come back over, you got to come to us. And if you don't fuck with us, then we don't fuck with you. But not knowing that back then, it wasn't. I'm just saying that's to answer the question, I think we were black.
I don't think it had the Soundboy Burry. I just think I think.
Nah, we still get letters to this day.
Oh, shit. Oh, my bad.
this is what y'all got to pay attention, man. If you wanted to be one way, it ain't one way.
Yeah, it ain't that
it's
way.
It's so many things. So what the homie said.
Y'all just was so far ahead of y'all time. And that's just
nah,
my opinion.
I believe
opinion.
That, too. Nah, because that's I feel part
like
of it, too.
It was like, okay, these are the first independent guys that I could
who
remember.
Who they think they are? Get out of here.
Understand? Yes, you know, it's like, we don't, you know, we're going to do it ourselves. Then it was the internet thing.
Yeah,
you understand
yeah.
what I'm saying? Again, real, this real don't talk. Sound foreign now, but just imagine 25, 30, nah, whatever.
Drew
Ha,
like, Drew Ha had right. us on the chat room. He's like, yo, come up here for, and you got to come get our checks at Dugdown. Like, that's how you get black people to come to work. You know, you got to come get your check. You might as well get on the chat room for a little. And it was like, you know, at some point, it's first time. Mm-hmm. So it becomes exciting. You're like, wow, you mean I'm talking to the people? And then you communicating with people in colleges. You communicating with your fans. You know, like now, but it's trippy because this is the first introduction into it. So,
but I do think Dugdown was ahead of their time.
Absolutely.
This was before MySpace was even mm-hmm. jumping. Cheese had newsletters going out, which they're doing now, or you don't see too much around now. Mm-hmm. So we was actually grassroots with the consumer, to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We was like one of the first independent that was really locked into the internet phase yes, of doing that type stuff.
I agree.
Would you be considered the first rappers to like to marry like R&B and a rap song? Because I Love You with Mary J.
I don't think so.
No?
Nah, hell no. No. LL been doing that.
We well,
you
did
saying
it.
With
we did it really
R&B
well.
Artists?
Yeah.
Nah.
We did it well though. It was it was perfect.
I feel like she just threw y'all on the beginning, or whoever threw y'all on the beginning. I do feel that.
No,
even though it worked.
Listen, when we did that, Mary Jane, and Puff brought us in, I said, nigga, I want 100,000. We need 100,000. Uh-huh. And then he said, chill, playboy. Well, he didn't do all that. I'm just making it funny. He was like, chill, playboy. I could go get them niggas 1,500 and do bop, bop, bop. Uh-huh. I'm like, what? We walk in the studio, LL in there. I'm like, damn, this nigga, you got it. 100,000. What are you talking about?
We was fantasizing the walls look like they was made of steel. Wow, yeah, we gonna ask for a lot of laws.
We were like, nigga, we want 100K.
Big bag. Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I do that because it reminds me, remember the Dame Chappelle when he did?
Yeah.
Can't stop. Won't stop.
Playboy.
She a playboy. But now I'm like, hey, we need 100. He's like, yo, I go get fuck out of here. He's like, all right, you
did
know
he
what?
Something around that?
Nah. He gave us something, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, it was
that.
A percentage of that. But
yeah, it wasn't that.
The point is like, we coming in with our eyeballs like this right. going, yo, like, we looking at all your stuff, you like, damn, yourself, man. Right. Yo, let me hold something. Like,
right. You know, like, nah, my mom used to say, don't let your eyes be bigger than your stomach. Yeah.
Never buy nothing. Let me just hold something. Let me, we get this hat. Then, yo, you got mad hats.
You know what was the icing on the cake? We actually got to perform that song with Mary for the first time on the Barclays stage.
Wow, well, I don't think I was
crazy.
There. Wow. Nah. Well, I seen y'all perform that song a handful of
that
times.
That was amazing.
Do you feel like that,
like childbirth.
That song helped y'all as a group?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean,
yeah,
she told me it was one of her favorite remixes. I don't know if it was Club Talk or...
Got you, understand.
But you know how it goes.
I just feel like y'all just
one
was
of her
in the
best
beginning.
Remixes, yeah.
In the beginning, all right, cool. All right, see y'all later.
I think
nah,
you
but
know,
you know how, not to cut your wisdom, that remix came across fucking with our brother Big.
Right, that's
we
what
had
I was
a show
say
on
anyway.
Intrepid. Right.
Okay.
We just came from doing the Black Moon
video.
Was I Got You Open remix?
I think the
Buck
remix.
Em down, Buck Em
Down.
Buck Em
Down remix.
So we was...
We just came from
Prospect
Park.
Fatigued already. Fatigued down, helmets, canteens, probably some walkie-talkie type shit. And I see Big, I think was it the tunnel? I think it might have
Intrepid.
Been the tunnel. Intrepid. That was where the show was at, Intrepid. Uh-huh. So we kicking it because that's my brother. And probably like, yo, get y'all to come through, da, da, da. And Big was always a dot connector facilitator. Like, uh-huh. So once that happened, he was like, yo, y'all come to the studio. I want to get y'all introducing Mary J, queen of hip hop R&B. We was like, shit, 100,000. Yeah, we be there. Yeah. But nah, that's how that came apart again from just being, of course, with our brother Brooklyn shit, mm-hmm. and being how we are, you mm-hmm. know, just being us.
So now you have a new project.
Infinity.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Do y'all feel that when some people say, oh, rappers too old to be rapping, and how do y'all feel about that?
Some rappers are. Some rappers are.
I don't ever think that.
Yo, but what KRS, what year was it when KRS once said, ripping the microphone years. Until the motherfucking 60? Right? I don't know what song that was. You remember what song that was?
Oh, Bill Bixby. We're keeping the microphone until I'm motherfucking 60.
That's Channel Live, what?
Yeah, that's
Channel Live. That's high key, man.
That was what, 90 what?
95. I don't
he
think,
said I'll be rocking the mics and I'm up to 60.
I think it's on the individual that okay, feels like that.
Exactly. Like, if you feel there's old, a get
famous,
out of
there's a famous poker player and his saying is, you don't stop playing because you get old, right? Mm-hmm. You don't stop playing a game because you get old. You get old because you stop playing a game. Mm-hmm. So that's everything in life is a young man's sport, a young woman's sport, because they're here experiencing that. We done been there and done that. Mm-hmm. But that don't mean we can't continue to thrive in those areas and those parts of life mm-hmm. and even help y'all and show y'all. Because I think that's where the disconnection right now is, where the veterans, OGs, older niggas, and the younger niggas, or whatever it is. And from their talk, it's the bag. Niggas respect the bag mm-hmm. more than they respect the person. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have respect for a person as a human being, it don't even matter what the fuck you're doing. You know what I mean?
But the reason why I ask is because I feel like older people don't want to be old. And when I use the word be old, it's like I'm seeing people in their 40s, you know, twerking with your friends and doing the dance and stuff. It's like, yo, my nigga, like,
but I,
come on,
I think
like,
we come from a whole
you
different...
You understand what I'm saying? Like,
nah, we come from a whole different...
So when I say that, it's like, I don't...
What's and, old and, to you? What's
I'm
old
gonna be
to
honest.
You?
Listen, to me, old is... I don't think it's no such thing as old. But as far as of age or seasoned or veteran rapper is, I want to say 40 plus. And when I use that word 40 plus, it's like, again, I think that a 40 plus year old rapper should be, and I want to use the word should be talking to people of those age demographics or a little bit younger. I don't think that a 40 plus year old rapper should be talking about my hammer and shooting this. Because I don't think that they live that life as of that time. The
some
only
do.
Person
some do.
Who probably
right.
do
some
might
do.
Be right. the Mash Out Posse.
That's you understand? Some them do. Niggas, you can't say that. You can't say that there are some people.
But I'm just saying. But I'm just saying. Most of the time, somebody 40 plus, you know about mortgages and different things like that. You
some.
Don't. It's not too many 40 plus ignorant niggas out here.
I used to read the police blotter.
Yo,
remember
bugging.
Police blotter in the newspaper?
Okay, go ahead. Uh-huh.
And I would be like, yo, I was living in Jamaica, Queens at the time. And I spent my time in Brooklyn.
I could be
so
wrong.
Brooklyn cats head on a swivel all the time. I'm not comfortable in them homes in Brooklyn. I mean, in Queens. So I didn't have the gate. I didn't have a gate up in the back of my house. So I'd be nervous. I always would think, this is how they're going to come and get me. They're going to come from the back of the house. Mm-hmm. They're going to come up the side. And that's the, that's Queens living. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But for me, like, and I lost my point for a second, but Brooklyn will teach you how to be sharp. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I lost my point, but keep going.
All right, so let me tell
that
them.
Some people in their 40s are still getting it in.
Right,
no,
so let me say
this.
Right,
that's the point.
So let me say this.
Felice Blotter.
I lost my mom. She was like 80, 85. Mm-hmm. My dad lost my dad at 92. Mm-hmm. That's what you consider
old.
Being old, living a great life. You lived, your life.
Well, that's old as far as a rapper.
Regular, right.
That's I mean, not a regular. I'm talking as far as being regular.
I'm talking about rapping.
So if a rapper can still go bars. How old is
I think you're confusing. I think you're confusing what I said.
But
I didn't say
that
they should stop rapping. I said the subject matter of the rap. As being 40 plus. I don't think nobody should stop rapping. You can rap as long as you want to rap. Just saying the subject matter. I don't think a 40 plus year old rapper should be like, talking with your friends.
But 40 is not old, though. I mean, you can still be in the streets.
It's going over your head again. Chill,
nah,
man. Stop.
It's not going over my head.
Because you keep using the word old. I said the subject matter.
I only use it because you said it.
I said the subject matter.
A nigga rapping at 42 can subject be doing matter. The same thing that a nigga at 22 is doing. So he's going to talk about what he knows, what he's living.
I agree. And I don't know too many 40-year-olds is like right. twerking with your friends.
So this is this is what I was talking about.
Gimmicky. That's different.
But then check it out, Bianca. This is what I was trying to say, right? About the police blotter. This is before I turned 50, right?
I would see
a lot of different crimes, like 45-year-old, 47-year-old get shot in his driveway.
Right.
It's like mad stuff is going on. So you think because a dude get a certain age, like the I don't know what you're saying. You dude get a certain
wisdom
age,
don't come
and you
with
still
age.
Gotta keep your head on a swivel. You still gotta move a certain way. As far as spitting bars, saying this is what you're doing out in the streets. It could be some guys that stuck in the time warp.
I don't think a 40 plus would be like, yo, I'm about to go do a heist. I'm about to juke some nigga.
But we got a song called Bad Guy, right? Maybe put a gate up
in front of my crib so a nigga can't catch me from the back.
No, but you got
that too.
You know
what I'm saying? Up on the side door, maybe that could be a subject matter.
There's certain niggas who rap that.
With the shotgun double barrel on the stoop.
We talk
protection. You know what
we
mean?
Talk right. raising our kids. We talk building a community up and out. Mm-hmm. So everything is not.
Well, I'm not saying everything should be
block.
Pop. I'm not saying positive. I'm just you.
Nah, I know what you're saying.
No,
y'all going into the violence part. I don't think violence has an age. So let me say that part. I'm just saying certain subject matters, and I'm using we're twerking with your friends. Da, da, da. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You and your girlfriend ain't twerking with your friends, my nigga. I don't know how old the rapping dude was. You wasn't twerking with your friends. Absolutely not. No, I was not.
Man, you was laying out on the ground.
Let me tell you something. I went to y'all show, right? I heard the beats and rhymes, my nigga. I didn't hear twerking with your friends.
You're not gonna get that.
You heard that album for 30 years ago, though.
No. I'm talking about Evil D was DJing for 2 hours. I was there, my nigga.
Okay.
I'm talking about the music y'all gonna perform what you supposed to perform.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear no twerking with your friends coming out of them speakers. You understand what I'm saying? Because niggas didn't want to hear that shit.
No, that
if you'd have played
that
shit, niggas would have looked at it like, what the fuck
who
is you
show
doing?
Show is this again? What year is this? So that's what I'm just saying.
I just feel like somebody has 40 plus, the subject matter should be 40 plus, just like in R&B. They have contemporary R&B, whereas you hear it on like the older stations, it's you know, the older R&B is more about the, you know, love and all that. Where a younger dude, oh, I'm gonna eat you out, bitch, and da-da-da. You understand? That's a younger, or what you call it. You understand?
Right.
I don't think 40 plus people are talking like that. I'm saying the majority.
No, I feel you, because it's sensationalized now. But that aside, one of my favorite joints is like the J. Cole and Durkio joint, All My Life. Like, this is just a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when artists are just making beautiful music, like, none of that shit matters, really. Like, it'll be like a dude, like a Coogee rap who would make a love story, but it's about going to jail. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He could be a
Maybe why I fucked up going to jail or something like that.
Right, but then
why you want to shoot a nigga?
Or
right
you have a dude like Slick Rick.
You too old
some
to
niggas
shoot,
deserve right? to get shot.
No, then you get a young nigga go shoot him. You talk about that. See, I gotta shoot you. Now, I'm a young nigga to shoot you.
That's another story because big homies leading the young niggas to crash. Yeah.
You nah, said some niggas deserve to get shot.
You gotta remember,
I'm gonna shoot you myself. I'm not gonna put a young nigga in jeopardy.
How old was Slick Rick when he wrote Children's Story?
He was like, under 40. He had to be under 40. He just turned 60 or something.
So if the young niggas is charged with giving us the most ignorant shit, like I can't listen to that because I'm over a certain age.
I think
I'm giving you a different argument. I'm not even going to that because
Bianca, because these niggas is from Bed-Stuy and Brownsville. Mm-hmm. They keep talking about criminal shit. I done said I'm not talking about this criminal shit.
You talk about twerking, I get it.
You understand?
Kind of
niggas is still.
He got you doing
it.
Yeah, both of y'all doing that thing.
Yeah,
because it's hilarious. Or you make me think about one of our uncles that we thought was old, but he just was a young old nigga doing some funny shit at the barbecue. That's what I think of.
Yeah.
But then we in our 50s and it's like, my 50 don't look like my pop's 50.
You, right. You as old as you feel.
I agree. I'm with you, but I just said this subject matter. That's all I'm saying.
I get that.
You see all these rappers right now, a lot of legacy rappers are coming out with new albums. You see Wu-Tang coming out.
Red Man.
Salute, salute to the bros, word.
So Self is talking shit right now because at the end of the day, a lot of you legacy rappers are still able to make a living, which was not the case 20 years ago. I feel like right now,
No, but you made a point that to what he said, not that part. Not that part. I'll get it.
I totally understand.
I like Redman. I listen to Redman. I don't like his production. I think his raps is crazy. I just didn't like the production. Some the choice of beats. I was just like, but the raps was on point. Yeah. You understand? So I do listen when somebody comes, I'm like, oh shit, I want to hear it. And I think Redman.
So what's your top five you listen to right now?
I'm weird, so this is, but yeah, I did listen. I listened to Redman album. I'd have to look through my stuff. I like Moneybagg Yo.
Okay.
I really like Moneybagg.
I fuck with Moneybagg.
I'm more of my era of 89 to 95. I'll be super honest with you.
Okay.
You know, and I think they be around, I usually play that. I'm listening to that. The new stuff I'm not really listening to, I'm listening to that. You understand? So I'll be super honest.
I think what's tricky too is that
here's the why I paid for admission price to your show.
A ticket.
I didn't call you.
Because you came from where we came from.
Did I call you? And
you're not supposed to toast water.
I know.
But I think what's tricky is that we watch hip hop grow.
The cork.
Anyway, we watch hip hop grow.
Right.
No, this nigga from fourth grade.
We watched it grow from.
This the cork.
From young. And then we like, all right, it's old now. Like, how we do that?
Well, I think it's actually good because now it's like, you know, they used to have like classic rock stations and shit like that. Now they have classic
But that's what I'm saying. You can't classic rock by twerking with your friends.
But you know what? Not Smith and Wesson can't, but maybe Uncle Pete can. Like
maybe Uncle Luke might can.
Maybe he'll have a 300,000.
Uncle Luke will break a fucking hip.
3,095.
That's what I'm trying to say. Exactly.
What version of the electric slide do we have right now? Like it's a new something for these old people that old people still want to shake their hips.
Yeah,
67, 60 Stella want to get a.
That's
because
you only
Beyonce make
you
those songs.
Feel.
Like
that's what I'm saying.
You get old once you stop.
Let them have
what you
bingo. That's what I'm talking about. You want to with your friends, talk with your friends. Smith & Wesson ain't doing that. We was in D.C. They still rocking the go-go. This is what we do. We love that. You go to Jersey, you gonna hear, you gonna go, you gonna wind up in the club. Yeah. You gonna be like, wait, y'all still? Yes, we still do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let some of these old uncles rock at the barbecues. We are gonna need some of that when we hit our 60s if we get there.
I agree.
I don't think the 20-year-olds think they was gonna get to 40 in them parties. Back then, you probably thought you had a short life going to the club back then. The tunnel, you probably thought you was, you was on the short.
That's a whole other story. That was a part two.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, I don't think that
let them rap.
Somebody 40 have plus fun. Should not rap.
No, I don't think you think that.
Okay,
at
I just
all.
Said the subject matter
right.
is just weird to me with some, and then I also think that society's changed where the parents and the kids are listening to the same music.
Yes.
Which sometimes I think it's like, well, if you listen to the same music, you're gonna start making the same music. Because a lot of times you make music that you listen to.
Is that a problem? Parrot.
It's a double-edged sword.
And child listening to the same music.
If you told me with your friends sometimes. And your mama and your
but listen. For me,
daughter,
that happens.
For me, sure. I had to find a bond. I had to find something that my younger son
played baseball.
For him, it was basketball.
Okay, yeah.
So you would lay up, but I had to learn about baseball because he would talk it with his grandpops, and I would feel away like, yo, why the fuck you ain't talking to dad about baseball? I didn't know shit about baseball except for Yankees. So I had to find that niche, to find the way to bring that bond with my son to be like, all right, so is that a problem for a parent and a child to listen to the same music?
I think so.
You think so?
Yes, because
no. That's too broad. That's too broad right there. That's too broad.
Maybe not listen to the same music, but to be influenced.
Okay, now influence you.
To be influenced. Let me use that word. To be influenced.
Because even as a child, I would play my son older stuff. Mm-hmm. So just so he know, get used to Prince, Michael Jackson. Family Sly and everything. Smith. I didn't tell him about Smith & Wesson until he was about 15. He didn't know what his pops did until he was about 14, 15.
How the fuck he don't know what you're about? I'm confused now, guys.
Probably knew but didn't understand. Yeah, like, he didn't know. You just dad.
You understand when you 10, 11, like, you know, right. 7.
Not if you're not coming from that same environment. Once we came from the environment, our kids didn't have to come from that
from
no more.
I'm from downtown Brooklyn. I'm not from Bed-Stuy. I didn't come from that environment.
Are you from Brooklyn? You said you're from fourth grade.
I'm from the nice part of fourth grade, though.
What I'm part not from is
the
that? Project.
What are you from, the third walk over there on the
other
side?
Project. I'm not from the project. I'm from the brownstones.
Oh, man.
I'm from the other side. I'm from where...
Oh, you are by DeKalb.
Yeah, by DeKalb. Yeah, I'm from DeKalb. Okay.
Yeah,
the DeKalb side.
Come on, Self. Yeah,
you act like you ain't see me. Come on, God. Next to Clinton Hill. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I lived in Clinton Hill for 20 years.
I know you lived in Clinton Hill.
Yeah.
That's how me and you got block parties early.
From living in Clinton Hill.
What Uncle Ralph block party, the kids was there. They wasn't even walking yet. But I still don't think they understood what it was. You know, as far as knowing they parents isn't rappers and shit like that. That kids never relished in that.
And what's crazy about that, at the show, we had a bunch of one-time, first-timers.
Mm-hmm. The show that you just had?
Yes, for the 30th anniversary at the Monarch. There was a bunch of first-timers that ever seen Smith & Wesson perform. We've been going through that across seas for like the past few months, where there's actually generations at the show, a family of a father, uncle, brother, son, daughter, even daughters and mothers is there. So we make that a point. We kind of make that a point in our show to be like, oh, wow, let's recognize what's here, because that's how hip hop, our music, is going to keep living for another 20, 50 years. So when you acknowledge that, it gives them something to be like, yo, I was a part of that too. So now, like, we grasp hold to the 95s, 92s, or whatever, because we was a part of that. So now, in 2024, let's say 50 years from now, they're going to be like, yo, I remember that because I was there at that concert.
Right.
That was my first concert of 2025 or 2024, whatever it was. But they get it because now it's being passed down from generations again. So that's why, how they say, there's nothing new under the sun, and music is still always...
But not twerking with your... No, I'm just fucking with you. Hey, it's Apartment 5H.
Wait, thank I y'all. Have a quick question. Yeah. So, would you consider yourself the first rapper with a face tat? When'd you get that?
Nah, I got this tat.
Because you know that's
I might be in the top three for the first rappers with a face tat.
Find out. Who's the other two?
That I know of. Because after I had this, came Wayne... I had this before Wayne.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, way before. He wasn't even born yet. That nigga started rhyming at like 11 or some shit.
You sound like he's 12.
That nigga was...
Yo! All right, the origin of this face tat is I got it at my man's son's birthday party.
Mm-hmm. But you did get it after Tyson.
Of course, you did. I got it after
just
Tyson.
Just let you know that. Okay, cool.
I got it after
don't
Tyson.
Don't do that. You know,
I didn't say that.
I said
Tyson ain't from Cephalo.
I'm trying to think of some rappers.
Yes, he is from Cephalo.
Tyson is not
his family,
from Cephalo.
His family from Cephalo. I know the building. I used to see Tyson in Cephalo.
Tyson is from...
What, you going to say Catskills or something like that?
Come down and lock down the store.
I was going to say Brownsville.
From Cephalo.
No, I was going to say Brownsville Houses.
Oh, Brownsville Houses. No, it's from Cephalo. Nah. I remember.
Can I please hear Tech's story about his face tat? Is that okay with you?
Okay, so this face tat origin came from one of my man's son's birthday party. There's kids, there's adults. Nobody is fucking with each other. So, some spirits start getting passed around. And they're like, yo, I dare you to... Let's bring the party together. Yo, why ain't nobody fucking with each other? The kids running around, ain't nobody, parents ain't speaking. I dare you go get your face painted. I said, oh gosh, here we go. All right. You know what? I'm gonna get the Tyson shit with the face paint. He was like, what? You gonna get it? All right, boom. So as soon as I sat down, all the parents and kids started gathering around. So now I get the Tyson shit. They're like, oh shit. That shit really looks good. it fits you. Uh-huh. So my dumb ass, in the summer, I go get a henna tattoo of the same shit I had. And I go home to my mom's and she like, yo, if you don't take that shit off your face. And my mom's is a Christian, she don't curse. Well, she's like, baby, if you don't take that off your face, my dumb ass waits too long and the henna burns into my skin. So now, even when I wash it off, you still see the remnants of the
henna.
Tattoo or the henna. So I was just like, fuck it, you know what? I might as well go all the way. And that was it. But yes, to answer the question, I was definitely one of the first MCs to have a face tattoo.
I mean, look good.
At least on the East Coast. I don't know what was going on anywhere, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Definitely one of the first.
Okay, I'm going to coin that.
Apartment Good 5 Aces, the Gwen and Gardeef. No more singing at the shows, neither.
Hey, I wasn't singing.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Let him sing.
Yeah. Let a bird will fly.
Yeah.
And fish will swim.
Hello.
The general will shine.
Peace, God. Today's wisdom, understanding, or being born by power.
Peace.
The Gwen and Gardeef DJ Self. It's apartment 5H. Thank y'all for coming through.